This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democratic Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of July 28th, 2024. During last week's episode, we mentioned the possibility of a rematch this fall between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. The same two presidential candidates have not faced off in consecutive cycles in 7 decades. Within hours of that episode being published, this year's presidential race underwent a dramatic change, with Biden dropping out. Biden had faced questions in the weeks following his debate with Trump regarding if the current president could serve another 4 years in the White House. Biden's decision was quickly followed by a major move affecting the Democratic presidential ticket, the elevation of Vice President Kamala Harris as the person to challenge Trump. Endorsements and support quickly poured in from across the country, including from the natural state. The Arkansas delegation to this year's Democratic National Convention voted unanimously last Monday to endorse Harris. State Party Chairman Grant Tenniel telling reporters that vote happened rather quickly.
I could tell by the time we got on the call which way the thing was going to go. And that led me to call for a voice vote almost immediately, and was not surprised to hear it come back unanimous.
The Harris campaign attracted tremendous national support in the wake of Biden's withdrawal. State delegations unified around Harris, who has surpassed the threshold to become the party's nominee. The campaign also announced it raised more than $100 million within 36 hours of Harris becoming the leading Democratic candidate. Democratic Party of Arkansas Vice Chair Janie Cotton says Arkansas was not immune to this energy.
We're getting people coming to the Democratic Party office asking how they can help with her campaign. I'm getting text messages, phone calls, and emails. Vice Chair Cotton, what can we do? We're excited. I said, join the Democratic Party first.
In regards to finalizing a presidential candidate among delegates, virtual voting could begin as early as Thursday. There is also the matter of selecting a vice presidential nominee. Names being suggested have included Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. Cotton sharing confidence in Harris's ability to pick the right person.
I think that her wisdom and knowledge and experience as a vice president will give her a segue into picking someone that is compatible with her for the people.
Former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have thrown their support behind Harris, as have Little Rock Mayor Frank Scott Jr. and Democratic members of the state legislature. On Capitol Hill, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed a joint session of Congress, receiving praise from members of Arkansas's congressional delegation. Netanyahu received a mostly warm reception from those in attendance last Wednesday, as he stressed the importance of the United States' support of Israel in its ongoing war with Hamas.
In World War II, as Britain fought on the front lines of civilization, Winston Churchill appealed to Americans with these famous words, "Give us the tools and we'll finish the job." Today, as Israel fights on the front line of civilization, I too appeal to America. Give us the tools faster and we'll finish the job faster.
Netanyahu last gave such an address to lawmakers in March 2015. Representative Steve Womack of Rogers says this speech was one of the finest he has heard, given the circumstances and the ongoing war.
Circumstances are different today. They've been attacked, innocent loss of life. It has created some divisions, not just here, but around the world. And I thought he did a very good job of putting things in the proper context.
Those divisions were apparent in Washington, which saw a continuation of international protests against Israel and the treatment of people in Gaza. Pro-Palestinian protesters gathered outside the U.S. Capitol, with demonstrations reaching a point when U.S. Capitol Police had to deploy pepper spray. Near the U.S. Capitol at Union Station, protesters defaced property, burned American flags, and replaced American flags on flagpoles with Palestinian ones. Netanyahu criticizing the demonstrations against his country.
They refused to make the simple distinction between those who target terrorists and those who target civilians. between the Democratic State of Israel and the terrorist thugs of Hamas.
Representative Rick Crawford of Jonesboro did not shy away in sharing his opposition to the demonstrators.
It doesn't feel right, doesn't look right. They're out there waving the Palestinian flag, tearing down the American flag. You know, it's really kind of a sad day.
Netanyahu also used his time before Congress to dismiss international criticisms against Israel and himself. The International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant against Netanyahu on allegations of war crimes. This includes the starvation of civilians and intentional attacks against civilian populations. Israel and the United States are among the few countries that do not recognize the court's jurisdiction. Representative Frenchel of Little Rock refutes these allegations.
In my view, Israel has used its absolute best efforts to separate civilians from the fighting, to provide food and humanitarian assistance, to minimize casualties, and yet at the same time, defeat the Hamas terrorist group.
Several Democratic lawmakers skipped the address. Vice President Harris did not attend, given a prior commitment in Indianapolis. Both the president and vice president met with Netanyahu last Thursday. We now have an idea when the statue of Johnny Cash will be unveiled on Capitol Hill. The House of Representatives approved a continuing resolution to reserve Emancipation Hall in the Capitol Visitor Center on September 24th for a public ceremony concerning the statue. The Senate needs to concur with that resolution to finalize the timing. Every state can contribute two statues to the National Statuary Hall collection at the U.S. Capitol. Arkansas state lawmakers in 2019 agreed to remove statues honoring Uriah Rose and James Paul Clark and install new figures recognizing Cash and civil rights leader Daisy Bates. The Bates statue officially became part of the collection in May with a public unveiling ceremony. That statue located in National Statuary Hall near the House chamber. The House leaving Capitol Hill a week early to get a start on its August recess, the chamber struggling to pass its annual appropriations bills. The Senate remains in session for one more week before beginning its month-long break. When both chambers return to Capitol Hill in September, they will not have much time to complete its annual to-do list before year's end. One important item, the Water Resources Development Act, which authorizes U.S. Army Corps of Engineer projects and research on water resources and ecosystems. Congress typically passes these measures on a cycle without much controversy and with overwhelming bipartisan support. Jesse Richardson is a professor at the West Virginia University College of Law. He says many of these projects are first proposed at the local level.
You think about rivers and you think about navigation maybe, but this also covers flood protection, stormwater protection, everything really that covers water. And water is really vital to our economy, not only in the navigation sense, but flood damage.
The House approved its version of the bill last Monday. All four of Arkansas's House members backed the legislation. Representative Crawford says the bill is important for managing and improving waterways. This includes those in his district used by the steel industry for transporting goods.
There are a lot of people throughout the state of Arkansas that don't realize that the first district of Arkansas is the largest steel producing district in the nation, and Mississippi County is the epicenter of it. So it's really, really important. It's an economic juggernaut. It really is.
The Senate Environment and Public Works Committee advanced its measure to the full Senate in May. Senator John Bozeman of Rogers serves on that committee.
It's not glamorous. It's not something that you really take notice of, but it is something that it's not important. It is a true necessity.
It is unclear when the Senate will consider either its bill or the House measure, but Congress does not have a lot of time to ignore the matter. After September, both chambers will spend the month of October away from Capitol Hill, giving lawmakers time to campaign for this year's general election. When senators and House members return to Washington after Election Day, they will only have 5 scheduled weeks of legislative business to complete any lingering work. It is possible lawmakers could consider the matter during that lame duck session, and they may not even consider the legislation on its own. Congress successfully inserted the most recent version of the Water Infrastructure Bill in the 2022 edition of the National Defense Authorization Act, Congress's annual measure authorizing military spending. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of July 28th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can stay in touch with me on social media. My handle is at Alex House Thomas. Special thanks, as always, to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.